Today I want to talk about fake threats, pretend protection, and the real goal or greed behind it. Human beings are an interesting species, aren't we? We're predictable. Our behaviors are predictable in protecting our own self-interest, and we can do it in really clever ways. And if you use that as a rule of thumb, people protecting their own self-interest, all of a sudden, a lot of mystery about how we behave is removed. And you can start to see things, not only in other people, but the way you do things as well. Each of us behaves in that way, to more or less of degree, depending on how we relate to other people. You know, if we turn around and think that we're the only people, other people's self-interest, if we even recognize that, is less important by a large degree. However, if we recognize that balance and cooperation and harmony are important ideas, then we'll think in terms of our self-interest being aligned with other people's self-interest, and we tend to work together more effectively. However, if you read newspapers or see the news on TV or listen to it on the radio or have conversations, you can recognize that people will do unbelievably horrible things to protect their own self-interest. The same is true of corporations. I think there's a real danger in terms of corporations because it is anonymous. And kind of, I learned this years ago when I took Spanish when I was in the military, that incorporated, INC, in America is actually referred to differently in Spanish countries. They refer to it with the initials S-A, and then Spanish that would be pronounced S-A-A, and it stands for Sociedad Anónima, which means it's an anonymous society. So people can hide in corporations. Decisions are made by corporations. You know what? A corporation is just a legal entity. It's on a piece of paper. It's the people hiding in it that make the decisions. And by being invisible or anonymous in those corporations or large organizations to include governmental departments and so on, allows them to get away with things that would be horrifying if we were to explain those to unsophisticated people on the planet. Say we found tribes in remote areas that had no idea about technology and the way we operate in, quotes, civilized society, end quotes. They would be amazed at how we treat one another and what we do to the land. Using Christ's description of bonding, rejecting as the two impulses that drive human existence, we can notice that pretend protection against fake threats is a common demonstration of these two impulses. So when you start looking at what is going on with bonding and rejecting in these news broadcasts that you might be exposed to, or in the behavior of other people, everything starts to become even more clear. So much in current events provides evidence that people will do absolutely anything to protect and to further their self-interest at the expense of other people, up to and including causing them to die, destroying property and human life, ruining lives without actually killing the person, and creating of untold human suffering. If we were to look back some years now, we would say that Saddam Hussein and the non-existent weapons of mass destruction were fake threats. The United States helped put him and keep him in power for years. The United States, Donald Rumsfeld, they show it in pictures, was instrumental in selling him chemical weapons that he turned around and used on his own Kurdish population. He used chemical weapons that we provided him. The pretend protection was to instigate a war that has resulted in terrible destruction and loss of life, obviously to Iraqis and their culture and their property, but also to the Americans. The soldiers that were destroyed have been killed or maimed. The families back home that lost loved ones, sons and daughters in that. The staggering waste of taxpayer money that has gone into supporting and paying for that war. And the obscene profits to the United States corporations that are profiteering from that. What would the ego goal or goals of this whole Iraqi war thing, for instance, in terms of a fake threat and a pretend protection? On a childish level, George W. Bush admitted to wanting to play cowboys and Iraqis because Saddam Hussein wanted to kill George's father, wanted him assassinated. That's not really unusual in today's political environment. Or even in the old days, Julius Caesar, wasn't he assassinated? Wasn't Kennedy assassinated? Wasn't Martin Luther King assassinated? Wasn't Jesus Christ assassinated? Assassinations are not new news. And in reality, over the last 100 or so years, no country has assassinated more political leaders more frequently in foreign countries than the United States. We're literally the most dangerous threat to foreign political leaders in any country on the planet. So what are we trying to bond with in Iraq? Most people will immediately recognize oil. From an American corporation perspective, beyond profiteering from the provision of war materials and government contracts like Halliburton and some of these security forces, the control of Iraqi oil is the goal. Do we have the right to control another country's national resources? We tend to dance around that question, and instead what we do is we use our might to do as we wish. And we've been doing that all over the world. We use our might. I think the war in Iraq, and I don't think this is unique to me, may have had another goal. And that goal was to entangle the United States long-term in the Mideast, to put us on the playing field with Israel, with the fake threats of the Muslim countries on the other side of the ball. So now Israel and the U.S. are on one side, we're the good guys, obviously, and the bad guys are everybody else. When we notice all the Jewish advisors that were pushing George Bush and his administration into creating this war, along with the companies that were going to profit, Halliburton's and so on, that we would say, the emphasis on these fake threats to the U.S. security and the man in the street, oh, you're in danger by Saddam Hussein, you're in danger because of him, then all of a sudden, when we start to really notice that how that playing field was structured, I don't think it's unreasonable to call the Iraqi war the Jewish oil war. Uneducated, opportunity-limited young people in the U.S. are very easily seduced with the marketing of these concepts of honor, patriotism, heroism, despite the fact that they are being used. As any chess player knows, sacrificing pawns to protect higher-influenced entities is a good strategy. Oh, unless you're a pawn. Being treated and used as a pawn is a real threat. That's not a fake threat. That's a real threat. In the United States, Osama bin Laden was successfully marketed as the threat. In fact, we used him to justify this other war that we wanted to start. The war in Afghanistan. So we used his status as a threat to justify the longest war in U.S. history, even though reliable sources have said that Osama bin Laden has been dead since the early 2000s. But if we didn't have that fake threat, we couldn't have pretend protection. You know what? Osama bin Laden was trained by the American Central Intelligence Organization. The CIA trained him. He is a creation of our own. He is our own Frankenstein. Ismael Noriega, the corrupt Panamanian leader who replaced Omar Torrijos, who, by the way, was assassinated, and according to people involved, assassinated by the United States. Noriega was supported by the American CIA. When they, that is, Bin Laden and Saddam Hussein and Noriega, started to bite the hands that fed them, they turned from being into fake threats for the U.S. public, because they weren't affecting us, but turned into real threats to the people trying to control them. When you really look at the background and the doubts about what actually occurred on 9/11 in New York City, it starts to look like this was not orchestrated by the people we were told. They were used as fake threats. This is called a false flag operation, where an illusion is created as to actually who was behind these things. Now, to some people, that's a horrifying thought, that Americans or Israelis could have been behind the creation of the 9/11 events. However, CIA operatives, going back in time, recognized during the Kennedy administration, the military was proposing to Robert McNamara and others in the administration the idea that in order to justify an attack on Cuba, they thought we should blow up an American commercial airliner filled with American citizens and then blame it on Cuba and then use that to justify attacking Cuba and taking over that country. Fortunately, and I can't say during the Vietnam War, McNamara had this wisdom, but they declined to go ahead with that military proposal of killing Americans to justify going to war with a country, blaming a country for something created by Americans. But it has happened. It's been more than just considered. Next Friday, it'll be June 17th, 2011, and that's going to be the 40th anniversary of a fake threat with pretend protection. And this was the start of Richard Nixon's war on drugs, that most infamous, now we could say that's been the longest war that the U.S. has been involved in, the war on drugs. But in a minute, maybe there's another way to look at that, and there is even a longer war. American Indians, Native Americans, might say, wait a minute, guys, wait a minute. That 40 years is clearly not the longest war. And Afro-Americans, Black Americans could say, yeah, and it's not even close to the second longest war in America, the one being waged against the black man. But let's back up to drugs, the war on drugs. Hemp, we can call that plant hemp. It can be called more scientifically cannabis, and there are several versions of it. And then it was labeled earlier last century, trying to demonize it. It was called marijuana, based upon a Mexican slang word. And so marijuana, hemp, cannabis are referring to essentially the same overall plant, but with some significant distinctions. Those words were the fake threats, but not just when Nixon started it 40 years ago. It was a fake threat long before that. If you want to go back in time, you'll be able to see it, and I'll explain it in a second what I'm talking about. Let's just go back to bonding and rejection to clarify a couple of concepts. If things are either wanted, in which case we're going to want to bond to them, right? We want to occupy the same space as those things that we want. We want to have them. We want to grab them. We want to take them. We want to own them. We want to possess them. That's called bonding. But if there are things that we don't want, we don't like, or that are going to threaten what we do have currently, which we've bonded with, or are going to prevent us from bonding with what we want, we're going to reject them. We're either going to bond to things or reject them. These are a couple of real important concepts described in great detail in Letter 2 of Christ's Returns, reveal startling truth. So, who saw hemp as a threat? Was it a threat? William Randolph Hearst. We know some years ago about Patty Hearst. William Randolph Hearst was her grandfather. He was a publisher, and he used wood pulp to produce paper for his publications. It comes as no surprise that he had vast wealth tied into timberland. So a lot of his wealth was in timberland, for which he could use that wood to produce wood pulp, to produce paper. So now here's a guy who controlled not only the news that was reported and printed, but he controlled the paper on which it was printed. That's not a bad place to be if you want to control things in the American economy and political area. So what was the threat? What did he see as the threat? For years, literally centuries, the hemp plant has been used around the world. The U.S. Constitution was printed on, and the Declaration of Independence were printed on hemp paper. Sails of the USS Constitution, the Ironsides, that sailing vessel from the Revolutionary War, hemp was the source of that sail. It was, the sail was produced out of hemp, and it goes on and on. The hemp plant was the real threat to Hearst's wealth. As a plant, hemp is an amazing gift from God. Why? Because of so many things that it can be used for, from cosmetics to oil to food to clothing to paper, and it goes on and on and on. It's just an unbelievably amazing gift. From a paper, timber, hemp standpoint, hemp is far more efficient in the production of paper. So you can grow hemp faster, easier, with less resources, with less environmental damage, and produce paper with less resources, less energy, less environmental damage. So not only does hemp have medicinal value, it has all kinds of other values. So it can be used to produce natural things in lieu of synthetic products. And it goes on and on. So if you have your money tied up in timber, you do not want competition from some other source, some other product, some other naturally growing plant that is going to make your wealth vanish, make it much less valuable than it was before. So Hearst and his son-in-law, along with the support from DuPont, a chemical company producing synthetic materials, you get this, they made hemp illegal by influencing politicians to pass laws to establish prohibition against the use of any hemp products. Hemp was the overall target, but in order to do that, they used a fake threat. They used Mexicans taking jobs away from white Americans, going crazy because they smoked marijuana. That was the combined fake threat that was used. And the pretend protection? Laws. Let's get rid of marijuana. Let's outlaw it. Let's block immigration. Let's do all these things to... And the American public bought into it. Back in that day, the news was controlled by Hearst. So what did the American public know? What he told them. Did they know anything else? They didn't. There was no other source for news back in the day. Making hemp illegal was the pretend protection. So why did Richard Nixon 40 years ago declare his war on drugs? You know why? Because he needed a fake threat to distract American attention away from the disaster that was happening in the war in Vietnam. He created this fake threat, and he created this pretend protection so the American public wouldn't notice the destruction of the American soldiers wholesale the squandering of lives and money and material, and the destruction of the Vietnamese population, including the spraying of chemicals, Agent Orange, on people and plants. Lots of Americans are still suffering from their exposure to these chemicals produced by American chemical companies that were used as weapons. Then, chemicals used as weapons are a real threat, and we used them in Vietnam, and later years we sold them to Saddam Hussein so he could use them on his own people. Since 1971, there have been 40 million arrests in the United States for drug offenses. 40 million people, plus their families, their careers, their lives, have all been assaulted in this war of pretend protection. Now, if we only imagine that a person who was arrested had two parents, he had a mother and a father, you take 40 million of them and you add two, now you're up to 120 million people that were casualties and are currently casualties in this war on drugs. But then you add children and we have far more people that are being damaged by this pretend protection. When pretend protection produces 120 million plus casualties, someone should notice that the pretend protection is the real threat. The drug laws in the United States are, and frankly, the world, are the real threat. So guess who funds the anti-drug commercials on TV and in magazines? The alcohol and tobacco industries. Who opposes the medical tests or trials of cannabis and hemp oil? Hemp oil has been shown repeatedly to cure cancer and other diseases. Guess who is opposed to trialing that substance? The pharmaceutical industry. Can you imagine what would happen if you could grow something in your own backyard that was medicinal? You would make far less trips to the pharmacy and to the doctor. That's a threat. That's a threat to revenue. So, the question is hemp or cannabis or hemp oil or marijuana a real threat? It is if you're a pharmaceutical company producing synthetic drugs that are ineffective, that cause upwards of 400 to 700 to a million people being killed each year because of them. 400,000 to 700,000 to a million people in the U.S. die from drugs, hospitals, and doctor mishaps every single year. Now there's a war. Hemp, cannabis, and so on are threats if you invest in synthetic materials. So if you've got a lot of money tied up in chemical companies, that stuff is a threat because it's natural. The alcohol and tobacco company, they recognize that hemp is a real threat. If people used a much less harmful source of recreational drug than alcohol or tobacco, their revenues would decline. A lot of other social problems would decline too, but they're not about to let that happen. That's a real threat. To the public in the world, hemp should be a blessing, created by the divine for our benefit. But it's been created into being a fake threat. In a New York Times article the other day, it talked about the couple of different things related to the war on drugs. And here's a quote. The racial disparities, this is regarding the number of arrests for drug possession and drug offenses, the racial disparities are staggering. Despite the fact that whites engage in drug offenses at a higher rate than African Americans, African Americans are incarcerated for drug offenses at a rate of that is 10 times greater than that of whites. Guess what? The drugs are seen as the fake threat. What is the real threat that's perceived by some people? black men are perceived as the threat. And this goes back hundreds of years, where Americans and European powers, all run by whites, were really concerned about the idea that Haiti, run by blacks, could get its independence and would be successful. They were not interested in competing against, on an even level playing field, with a group of blacks. It was like scary. You can look around. We just finished, we're in the middle of the National Basketball Association Finals. We have no difficulty using black men as gladiators in sporting events. But to level the playing field, that's way too scary for us white men. We're not about to let that happen. And we use these drug laws, this pretend protection, to deal with what is perceived by these influential people as the real threat of free and treated equally black man. Bad news. We're not about to let that happen. A week or so ago, there was a report done by, and this is the name of the group, it was the report of the Global Commission on Drug Policy, and it was a 19-member commission, and it included some really significant people. Kofi Annan, who used to be the UN Secretary General, George Shultz, who worked for Ronald Reagan as Secretary of State, and a guy who was the former chairman of the Federal Reserve, Paul Volcker, all of them world-famous, world-respected. That report said, the global war on drugs has failed, with devastating consequences for individuals and societies around the world. 50 years after the initiation of the UN Single Convention on Narcotics, which was, frankly, this is my input, it was orchestrated by the United States, Hertz and his son-in-law, and 40 years after President Nixon launched the U.S. government's war on drugs, fundamental reforms in national and global drug control policies are urgently needed. That is, the pretend protection has been far worse than the threat that was faked in the first place. Our daughter Lisa recently retired from the United States Air Force. Her final foreign assignment was a tour of duty in Kandahar, Afghanistan. Before she went, she and I were in New York, and we were introduced to a CIA operative who had spent years in Afghanistan and wanted to provide input and guidance as to how we ought to look at that. This man took us on a boat that he owned, so there was no way anything could be bugged or heard or listened or captured from recording devices. And he talked to us about threats. And he said to Lisa, trust no one. Trust no one when you're in country. There are corrupt Americans, civilians and military contractors who are making unbelievable amounts of money from the illegal Afghani drug trade. So trust nobody. Get nowhere near any of those people. They are dangerous to you. Trust no locals because they hate us for what we're doing to their country and their people. Trust nobody in the U.S. military. And to a lesser extent, trust nobody in NATO military, because they will use you to further their own career, or egos. I want to talk about the war on cancer. Notice anything about these wars? The fake threats are magnified, and the pretend protection turns into being worse than the original problem. Interesting, huh? Saw a video yesterday about a Dr. Brzezinski who has found a way to cure cancer. He lives and works in Texas, but he's been hounded by the medical and governmental organizations in Texas and on the federal level as well, because they want him to stop what he's doing. You'd say, no, they can't really be trying to stop a guy from curing cancer. Yes, they are. He has been trying since 1977 to get approval to use his cure, but he's been roadblocked every step of the way. He has never been able to get any kind of funding for any tests, any trials, despite the fact that billions of dollars are used in tests and trials for the purposes of cancer. He can't get any cancer organization to which you might donate money, or can't get taxpayer money or government money to do any research. His work is a fake threat. And the pretend protection is to keep him from using his cure. It keeps it away from a public that is literally dying for it. The real threat, of course, is to the cancer industry, medical industry, the pharmaceutical industry. All of them really benefit by having this tremendous war on cancer. They're the ones that are profiteering from this war on cancer. Everybody is talking about a cure, a cure, a cure. There is a cure. There are multiple cures, but they don't want to have it. They want something patented that they can control and sell for purposes of profit. In the meantime, they will let us die rather than let us have it. We are being killed because those people are greedy and are wanting to bond with profit and money and influence. They will do astonishing things to bond. They will reject our opportunity to stay alive. Recently, there's been talk in Florida, which is where I live, particularly from Florida Republicans, claiming that the healthcare is a threat to our economy. Healthcare is a fake threat. Oh, this Obamacare, this healthcare, government, the government's a threat. This, all of that is a fake threat. The same people raised no such concerns when it was time to send bombs and bullets in your sons and daughters. Not their sons and daughters. Not their sons and daughters. Your sons and daughters. Or to paying for these wars in these foreign lands. Nobody raised an eyebrow or said, whoa, 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 can we afford that? Can we afford it? That wasn't the deal. The budget distortions, talking about, oh, we got to balance the budget, got to balance the budget. They didn't say that when Reagan was around. They didn't say that when George Bush was around. They're saying it now. They want to decrease social investment, school programs and health care and Medicare and Social Security. Though that's the pretend protection. There's a politician in Florida that recently voted to give tax breaks to oil companies. He thought it was important to support them by giving them tax breaks. The only group making more money than the oil companies are the pharmaceutical companies. But we have to give them tax breaks. Unbelievable. I got an email the other day from a person who claimed to be a Christian. He took that very seriously, and he claimed to be a pastor. And in his email, he displayed a tremendous amount of anger, which didn't sound that Christ-like to me. But here were a couple of his threats. New Age. The New Age. Do you know that phrase, New Age, is scary as hell to a lot of people? It's a fake threat, folks. 2,000 years ago, guess who was the New Age? Yep. But he was scary as hell 2,000 years ago as well. In the same email was a reference to Satan. Now, for people who have created Satan as a fake threat, I don't really subscribe to a Satan. I subscribe to the fact that human beings can do unbelievably terrible things, to include some of the wars and things that I've already talked about, that to destroy somebody's life for profit. That might be satanic. Hell is a fake threat. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was a fake threat. Scared those people that had the power. Scared two groups, right? The Jewish hierarchy, the Pharisees and Sadducees, right? Those guys saw their power threatened, their power and influence threatened by this person. Romans also were interested in not having people around making waves. They weren't that threatened by him at that point, but they were willing to have him executed when it finally came down to it. Christ was the threat. Today, the book, Christ Returns, reveals startling truth, is a threat. The same people who say they are Christians and display very little that appears to be Christ-like see any reference to Christ other than the way they already view it as being a terrible threat. It's a fake threat, folks. It's a fake threat. A few weeks ago, I did a call and talked about Galileo. Galileo said he agreed with Copernicus. He thought the earth moved around the sun, not the sun moved around the earth. The Roman Catholic Church went ballistic. Ultimately, after a long time, they forced him to recant his views, and they put him under house arrest. It was more complicated than that because he backed away after they didn't charge him, but then he finally put it in writing that he still believed that this idea of the earth around the sun was accurate. And the church says, that's absolutely false, that's against scripture, that's bad news, and you're now under house arrest for the rest of your life. It's amazing. It's amazing how this happens. Do you know that the guy who translated the Bible into English, last name Tyndale, was put to death by the church? The Catholic Church had him executed. This is the same church that had control over the Bible for well over 1,000 years. And people turn around and go, the Bible is the absolute truth, absolute word of God. It's not been distorted by human beings. Nobody manipulated this. Nobody changed it for their own greed and power of influence. Folks, if that were true, there would be only Catholics on the planet as Christians. There wouldn't be all these Protestant sects. But in fact, the Protestant sects broke off from the Catholic Church because it was like, dudes, you guys are all corrupted. You're this, you're selling indulgences, you're all this stuff. This is nonsense. They broke away from the group that had control over the Bible for 1,000 years or more. And the same group that brought you the Roman Inquisition and the Spanish Inquisition and the wholesale slaughter in this hemisphere with the conquistadors didn't distort the Bible at all? Okay. That takes a degree of overlooking reality in order to do that. Here's the real threat, though. This is the real threat to all of us, in my opinion. The real threat is our unwillingness to seek increased awareness about what is being told to us. If we accept what's being marketed to us without further investigation, without further consideration, without further questioning, we're going to buy fake threats wholesale. We're going to be controlled and imprisoned with false pretend protection. If we don't notice why people say stuff, the politicians that are doing stuff in order to stay in power, if we don't understand that, if we don't understand the manipulation of the FDA to prevent people like Brzezinski from using his cure for cancer for the benefit of all, if we don't recognize these people are bonding out of ego and greed, and with an unbelievable willingness to destroy other people for that purpose, that's rejection on the highest level. If we don't understand that and we're not willing to look at that and notice that, that's a real threat. I think we've got to seek awareness. Otherwise, we become like sheep and cattle. We're being herded, sheared, milked, and ultimately slaughtered by these greedy people with lower vibrations who think profiting, their personal profit, their self-interest overrides any consideration for the self-interest of other people. not noticing that, and taking care of our own self-interest is the real threat. We need to protect ourselves against that real threat. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know that it is your will that we should be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal, loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. That prayer is the pluralized version of the prayer in letter 8 of Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. And so it is. Thank you. Amen.